Okay. Welcome, everybody. We're going to go ahead and call to order our board trustee work session for the North Davis Fire District. It is March 21st, 2024. This is being held at Station 41 here in West Point. It is a couple minutes after six that we're starting. We've got Jerry Chatterton, Tim Roper, Matt Judd, Brian Vincent, Megan Ratchford, and Scott Wiggle. We are missing Nancy Smalling, or Howard, Nancy Smalling, and
Mayor
Shepherd tonight. Hopefully Mayor Batson's close. The other two we know are excused. But Mayor Batson should be coming. Do we have any badge pinnings for tonight?
Not tonight, we don't.
Okay, then we'll skip that one.
So, Chair, if you don't mind, with the work session tonight, we were just planning on, so behind the scene, we're talking about, actually, at kind of a high level, and I just wanted to inform the board that behind the scenes, we've been working on it, crunching numbers, and all the numbers aren't in yet, as you're aware of, with your own cities and municipalities, but so we've been going through line item by line item, and we're not ready to actually disclose or give that to you yet because we don't have any final numbers. So to preface this, I would like to ask that next month we will. Next month, I think we should probably dive into it, and I would ask that maybe the board possibly consider having a work session a little bit earlier next month, scheduling it a little bit earlier if they would agree to get through that.
Would everybody be available?
Yep.
She didn't hear earlier.
What? When are we meeting again?
And I don't think it has to be.
It's the 25th.
It's the 25th, yeah. And we moved that because of
ULCT.
What was it?
Utah League.
Yeah, the league, yeah. I think an hour or an hour and a half would be enough, you know what I mean? But that way I could answer questions and we could actually go through line item by line item, you know, but.
Or Kirk can.
I got it.
Actually, I'm going to be here.
You are?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be.
Well, I'm going to leave to Cedar City after.
Okay.
But
I begged and pleaded.
I will be here.
Daughter's graduation.
Anyway, so as I don't know where you're at in your cities or your entities or whatever, but I just want to remind the board, last year we came in with valuations and everybody was saying that evaluations stayed about the same from 22 to 23. We heard that from the county auditor. We heard that from even our local cities or whatever. When actuality, they did not come in even. They came in considerably lower. And so one point that I'd like to make is, and I use my house as an example because I live in the district. My house probably could sell for like about 850, okay? But the taxable value in 2022 of my house was 682,000. Or I'm sorry, the market value. The market value was 682,000. The taxable value was 375,000. I'm rounding the numbers. But in 2023, my house was, they said, was worth 622. So it's almost $60,000 less. And the taxable value was 342. So I don't think it was admin's fault or the board's fault. We said, hey, if it's going to be even, let's just accept the rate. Because we won't need to do, you know. But it wasn't even. So on a measure scale, if you take, and I'm rounding numbers again, if you take the district that's worth about $4.5 billion, and you minus 20 or 30% from that, that's a lot of revenue that we could have captured. By just holding the rate, I'm sorry, by just holding the rate last year. Of course, we didn't know that. One of the challenges, another challenge that we're really facing this year is ambulance revenue, which we've kept the board apprised of that. It is the demographics on the insurance that pays us. We're collecting an average of $300 to $400 more dollars of insurance that pays us. So that is people that have PEHP or Blue Cross. I mean, they've got auto insurance, which is a low percentage of our demographics. We have almost 40% Medicaid in our district. And Medicare is not far behind it, and self-pay is not that far behind that. Almost two-thirds of our district is Medicare and Medicaid. It's nobody's fault, that's just what it is. But the problem is, I think you guys remember in our discussions, Medicare and Medicaid, they only pay so much. You can't bill more than that, you can't. So an average ambulance call, and I'm just spitballing numbers again, an average ambulance transport for an insurance that pays would be like a couple thousand dollars. In the district, if we go on a Medicaid patient, if we go on a full arrest, cardiac arrest, and we use all of our drugs, IOs, everything we do, it pays us $360. And it's against the law to charge any more. And there's, I've talked with Mayor Vincent about it because he's in healthcare. There's no way around it. There's not, because by law, we have to respond. We have to have two people there. So I'm not comparing us to South Salt Lake or Ogden or something like that, but our demographics push that way. We did some projections with, and we're still ongoing because we're new with this new billing company. We're doing revenue projections with our billing or whatever, but we don't dare budget more than what we actually think we're going to get, especially after the losses we had. So I just wanted to update the board on the dynamics and demographics of that, plus the property tax, because at the end of the day, that's all the revenue the district has. There's no sales, there's no road funds, there's none of that. All we get is that, and that's the pull that we. I will toot our horn. Over the last year, it's pennies compared to our budget, but we have recouped a lot in permit fees when we redid our fee structure and stuff like that. We've over tripled that, but that money is restricted to use for public education and code enforcement, which we do. But there's no other way. We have fire recovery, and fire recoveries, when we bill, the board agreed to let us bill for a hazmat or whatever, but they also agreed that if the insurance didn't pay, or they didn't pay, we weren't going to go to send people in our district to collections. Means if your house caught on fire and your insurance policy can pay the $500 to the fire department, we'll collect it. But if, like you, my parents, if they got a bill, we wouldn't bill somebody at home if they got a bill, because they'd come pay it. They'd think they had to pay it. So we don't do that. But the insurance companies are catching on to that, and they're saying we're not paying. But every time that we can capture money from an extrication, a car wreck, anything like that, that's what we do. But that's $20,000, $30,000 a year. It's not, you know, a big part of our wage.
So can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on an extrication, I remember I was here when they, mm-hmm. when we did that policy to bill the insurance company, the auto insurance company. Mm-hmm. If you transport, is that part of that? Or is that, if it's a Medicare patient, is that separate and that's all you can charge is the 360, or does the auto insurance kick in and help cover transport?
Okay, so that's a good question. It's a two-part question. One, is it their fault? If it's Allstate car insurance paying because you hit somebody else and it's your fault, that pays really good your ambulance bill and everything. If it's not, if it's your fault or whatever, then Medicaid or Medicare, your private insurance is only going to pay what they pay. Does that help?
Yeah.
And then the
The
hazmat thing, or the, I'll picture that separate. That's a separate billing that goes out, and that goes under your homeowners. And if your homeowners pays it, they pay it. If your car insurance will pay it, they'll pay it. It's not medical insurance that pays that bill. So, does that help?
Yeah. I've got another question though too.
Okay.
What is your projection with the population getting older, or is it really getting older with the influx of younger people and all of the apartments that we've got with those people coming in? What are your projections for Medicare, Medicaid type situations versus?
We look at that. Clearfield City has, I believe, 2,500 more high density units over the last 2 or 3 years. So you would think that would be changing. You know what I mean? And of course, it doesn't matter. But West Point obviously doesn't have as many Medicare and Medicaid as our other two cities do, which is fine. So I think the growth out west, when it comes, Jerry, you would know, 2030 or 2040, West Point would be 30,000?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, 2040? Yeah, our build out is 40,000, and we don't know if we'll hit that in 2050. So.
What I see is more of a bedroom community, not really. It's never going to have a Freeport Center or a, you know, a mate. I mean, they might have a commercial area or whatever more than they have now, but it's always going to be a Bluffdale or a something like that. Am I right?
Much heavier residential for sure.
Yeah, and so I think you'll see the pendulum start to shift a little bit. I also think that a lot of the bungalows in Clearfield or some of the Sunset homes are, over the years they're turning into starter homes. They're not.
Yeah.
So you'll see that change in that dynamic, but it's hard to really put a finger on it. You know what else is really difficult is I think I was talking to Megan about, you remember how we used to say, oh, let's just throw in 2-3% growth for property taxes per year? Do you know what I mean? I can't question the county auditor, but it seems like we're growing more than what they say. Last year we got $60,000 more in growth, and it kind of surprised me. I thought, wow, there's been a lot of building going on the last couple of years, and that's all that is?
Yeah.
I don't know. So over the years, we have, as a board and as administration, we've just watched this roller coaster of property tax, whether they owe the district owes them or they overpay us. That's what it's kind of been. And then, of course, the last 2 years when you've seen that market fluctuate like it did, that just sent everything, blew everything out of the water, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we do. I do studies with I do it with districts, not cities. I compare us to Northview, which is Pleasant View, Harrisville, and North Ogden. Just for gee whiz, the collection rate for ambulance in that district is 90%. If we had 90%, we would collect 1.5 more million. It's just, that's what theirs is, the demographics. The Weber Fire District, we run about the same amount of calls, but they're spread out all over the place. They actually have over 100 employees, but they're spread out all over the county, including up in the valley. And a year ago, Misty lives in West Warren. I took her valuation, and I took mine in West Point. And our homes were about the same, worth about the same. her taxes, when you counted what she pays Weber Consolidated Dispatch and the Weber Fire District, which doesn't have a station even close to her, and the Weber County Paramedic Levy, like we used to have, you remember that, Tim?
Yeah.
Was way more than if you took her house and you put it in the North Davis Fire District. You know what I mean? So
sure.
we're trying to see where we fall in there. So does that?
Yeah. Help? That.
I think maybe with this corridor, I do think that we'll see West Point have some growth, and I think it's coming. I know that Clearfield has some huge projects around the corner. The only problem with that is, Tim, you were here back when we thought, what was that train company?
Oh, Stadler. Stadler.
When it was almost a locked deal that Stadler Rail was coming, and that was going to be, I believe it was $250,000 in impact fees. I made the mistake of budgeting that I heard it was a slam dunk. And
yeah.
So we just budget really conservatively, and if we end up getting more, I think next year we'll be getting some big impact fees. You know,
from Clearfield Station starting to go.
Yeah. But, you know, so that's just talking about the revenue side. Right now we've been dialing through, and chime in, Chief King, if you, we've been dialing in on line item by line item, everything that is expensive. There is some good news. Our health insurance, which we budgeted a 9% increase just because it was only 1.6, which was great. This year, Clearfield Dispatch, we won't pay near as much as what we used to. In fact, we have to amend our budget this year because we had Clearfield Dispatch a little bit longer than we anticipated, but now we get to reduce that. So there's a lot of really good points in the budget, but there's not any real fluff. But as of tonight, we're not comfortable. We want to get more numbers.
Sure.
And paint a picture so that next month we can really dive in and show you guys exactly where we're sitting. But
Mayor,
I just go on. I mean, does anybody have any questions?
Jerry, I don't know.
I've got another one.
Okay.
He's on fire tonight.
I am. Because there's a new makeup on the board, would it be responsible for us to revisit the collection portion of that? I know we made a decision not to go after anybody or send a collection agency after anybody on the ambulance fees and stuff, but is that something that we need to revisit and see how everybody feels?
We could do that. I'd like to give you my opinion.
Okay.
That same question could be asked about the people that we go on that we don't transport, that we constantly go on.
Yeah.
Legally, we could try and bill them. Legally, if somebody passed away at their home, and we worked them, but then we didn't end up transporting them, we call them, which that happens quite a bit, we could bill them. That's not normal practice in the industry.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think the board wants me asking somebody, can I get your insurance? You know what I mean? But
yeah.
The other thing, though, because when we go back to the demographics, if the board instructed us to, hey, you bill on every call that you respond to, even if you don't transport, most of the ones that we respond to that we don't transport won't pay. It's not that, that isn't the ones that abuse us or, you know, have a history of abusing us or whatever, they're on Medicaid or they don't pay, or they're self-pay, you know what I mean? So I don't know that would help.
And I'm okay with that. I'm not advocating that we start a collection agency or hire on one to go after these people. I just thought it might be interesting to see what the board felt if it's different. But I understand because we see the calls coming through and you see the address and you go, oh, no, There it is again.
Same one.
Same one again.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a good conversation to have, and it's a balance. I can tell you in the industry for fire, there's a lot of cities that wouldn't even do our fire recovery. They're like, that's what they pay taxes for. Yeah. We're not charging them. I think it was a good idea for us to do it, and I still am glad that we do it. But I do think it was a good decision of the board that says, Mr. Jones down there, if he doesn't have insurance and we went there and he had a fire or something, we're not going to bill him. We're not going to go after him. You know what I mean? And actually, I've never really had any pushback because you guys made that policy like that.
But your overarching point is well taken. I mean, it's one of those things where maybe we don't just continue with business as usual. We look again at maybe some of our policies, or we look at if there's a hole somewhere that we can plug that hasn't needed to be plugged before. But you know, with the times changing, that's something that we can do. And that's a good point. It's just revisiting some of those business as usual type things.
I agree, and I think also we've talked about this as a budget committee. We're really proactive at trying to get grants and get FEMA money that's related to this. So I won't get into the details of it now, but Chief King is putting in for what they call a SAFER grant for more personnel. We won't even know if it gets awarded until way after we're done with budget. So we can't count on it. My gut feeling is just over the past, it's throughout the United States, chances are we probably won't get it. If we did get it, it would be not a windfall, but it would be a good deal. Like, we would be able to probably stock away some funding for about 3 years, you know. Mayor, you're familiar with the CDBG grant that we put in for an ambulance?
Yeah, so in talking with the county on that, so we put in for a grant for $300,000 for an ambulance. County, in discussing with them last night, they said, yeah, it was a golden egg. They said, yep, let's do that, until they turned it into HUD, because they have to turn it into HUD to pass it off through this grant. And they said, sorry, Clearfield's part of your district, and you can't do that with Clearfield being your district, because they're their own.
So we're an entitlement city.
Entitlement city. And so they pulled all the funding for it.
Which we actually thought that would be the reason we would get it.
Yeah. And we don't have that kind of CDBG funds to throw it, anything like that.
No, and I talked with Mayor Shepard, and he's not here tonight. I talked with him a little bit about it, and to see if there's a way that we can tap into that work, kind of go through Clearfield and apply for more. So we're looking at that to see if we can maybe use Clearfield for the application process and go through it, not taking your direct.
But it may help us as we do our application.
Yeah.
As you qualify or whatever. Yeah.
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 Something like that. I'm all for that.
So we'll go after that again, but
yeah,
we'll see.
So I'll just come around. In the end, I'm not trying to paint an ugly picture for the board or whatever, but we definitely next month, we have some serious decisions, and we need to take a good hard look at things, because
we just didn't feel like there was enough hard numbers to
present it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can I ask just a follow-up question?
Sure, or two.
Okay. To the policies and personnel procedures that we have, do we have a set schedule where every 2 or 3 years we revisit those and go through them, or is it they just stay there until something happens and it brings it to our attention?
So are you talking about personnel policy or administrative policy?
Yeah, administrative.
Administrative policy, we haven't ever, unless I get directed by the board to have our attorney or take a look at, you know, I know you're not thinking of restructuring or whatever, but whatever it is, I've never been asked to do that unless I'm directed by the board.
Okay.
To do that.
Okay.
Personnel policy, yeah, that, and standard operating procedures, or continue, it's almost a fluid document.
Yeah.
And that changes with state statute, with everything. One other thing real quick that I'd like to, and you're facing this in your cities, and you'll even face it harder in public safety, is URS, the retirement.
Tier 2
went way up. That's a mandate. We have no control over that. So those of you that have police departments that have tier 2 employees, that just increased the contributory rate to that. And over the years, over the last 10 years, like I'm tier 1, Kurt's tier 1, it's starting to, there's less tier 1 and more tier 2.
And that trend's going to continue.
That's like that little change right there is like a $45,000 you know what I mean?
I'm all out of questions.
Well, we're only halfway through.
So. Well, maybe something else. Yeah, come on.
Good.
Any other questions on the budget side of it?
Do we have a line item where the write-offs happen, like where we track them, so the track of this revenue? Can't remember if we discussed it.
We have that through our billing company. It's a lot of data. I get the data. We're tax exempt, so it's a write-off, but it's it's almost 60%. I mean, that number fluctuates from year to year, but it's almost 60%. So if we collect 1.1 million, we should have collected 2.3. It's.
Do they report that to you quarterly, or how often do you get those?
We get them both. We can get that data anytime.
Okay.
And then it only happens, so I'm sorry, that's not write-offs. That's how much they're going to pay. So
that's
in theory, that's, so like Medicaid, for example, if they're only going to pay us $360, we're writing off the rest, but nobody's asking me to write that off. That's just a loss.
Yeah.
A couple times a year, I get hardship letters from people that can submit through our billing, and I evaluate the hardship letter, and I have the latitude to write it off. And usually, to be honest with you, it's a pretty decent situation. It's not somebody trying to scam us out. It's just they don't have the resources, and they got to submit W-2s. They got to do all that just for us to review it. So.
But are you talking like bad debt?
Yeah, no. Yes and no. So like if you go on a call and you spend $1,000 and you can't collect that $1,000 of whatever is not achieved by the insurance or whatever the entity will actually pay, where does that line item go? Like, or is it tracked where we can actually see
it? It's tracked. It's not tracked in our budget. Mm-hmm. It's only tracked through our projections in revenue. You know what I mean? I've never put in, like, I'm just throwing out numbers. I've never put in, I think we're gonna bill 2.3 million. So that's put that in the revenue slot, but we're really only gonna collect 1.1. We have that difference in numbers behind in accounting, but we just put the 1.1 in because that's, yeah. It's never been even close to that. Does that help?
It does, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any others? Okay, then we'll, next month we'll have some harder numbers and discuss
yeah.
that. Okay. Well, that brings us to the last item on our work session, so we're good. We'll just roll in. With that, then we will call to order our Board of Trustee meeting for the North Davis Fire District. This is being held at Station 41. It is Thursday, March 21st, 2024, 6:30 in the evening. Those members with us present, we got Scott Wiggle down here on the end, and then Megan Ratchford, Mayor Mattson, myself, Brian Vincent, Annette Judd, Tim Roper, and Jerry Chatterton. Mark Shepard and Nancy Smalling are excused tonight. We've asked Jerry if he will offer a prayer and lead us in the pledge.
Which way do you want them?
Prayer first.
Prayer first?
Yep.
Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful this day for many blessings that we have of living in this community and in this area. We're thankful for all that we have. We're thankful for our first responders, the hours and the time and dedication and love that they put into their work. We're grateful for them and ask that Thou would bless them for their efforts. Help us to make decisions this night that will be in the best interest of all of the communities involved, and we pray that Thou would bless those in the communities and let them know that we love them and care for them. We ask that Thou would be with our armed services, those that protect the freedoms that we enjoy and the reason that we're able to meet and do the business that we do. And we ask for these things humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jerry, thank you. Next item, citizen comment. Anybody here that would like to make a comment to the board? All right, seeing none. We're giving you all the chance in the world. Let's move on to our first one. This is consideration of approval of the minutes from the February 15th board meeting. If you have an opportunity to read over those and take any changes or edits, otherwise, I want to take a motion for approval.
I move to approve the minutes.
Second that motion.
Motion by Tim and a second by Megan. Any further discussion on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Next, this is approval of the North Davis Fire District bills for 2024. Have those in front of you.
Chairman, I've had an opportunity to review the bills from February of 2024. Make a motion that we approve the payment of those bills, please.
Second.
Had a motion from Scott for approval and a second by Tim. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed to that? Great. Next, this is our financial report.
Yeah, just a couple things I'll highlight to you. Like I talked to you in the work session, we haven't got our final distribution for taxes or whatever, so we're on target tax-wise, but I'll have more information for you next month as far as when we get our final distribution this month. It's usually the last week this month. And then I just wanted to point out, so just for gee whiz, like in inspection fees, you can see it's 182% up. So we used to only budget $4,500, and so we're collecting. I mean, that's not a lot of money, but that's the new program that you guys approved and stuff. It's making a difference. It's a small difference, but it makes a difference. Anyway, we're about even in wages right now. I do foresee us doing we're going to have to do, like we do every year, a budget amendment in June. As far as dispatch fees, because that was unforeseen, having Clearfield longer than what we wanted, we'll have to be moving, make some adjustments there. So, other than that, does anybody have any questions on the financial statement?
I have a question.
Yeah.
What does standby fee mean?
Standby fees are, we budget money for, like, ambulance standby at Clearfield High. That's kind of either they'll use or that if there was a venue that wasn't a city venue, then the contractor or whatever would pay us to stand by, whether it be fire or EMS or anything like that.
So you're saying a concert in the park?
Well,
with bringing in big stars or something like that?
Yeah, I'd like to think of, like, I don't know, yeah, amphitheater or something where you need medical standby. Like for example, I mean, that's way bigger scale, but USANA, if you go down to a concert down there, West Valley Fire's there. West Valley Fire is paying overtime for employees to cover that venue. That is not, we've had deep conversation before, that is not our 4th of July.
Yeah, right.
Or our Santa Claus or any of that stuff, so.
Another question, follow-up? The second question was the uncategorized income, the 35K, what was that from?
Are you in?
First page, about halfway down.
You know, Megan, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Misty's not here. Uncategorized income. I want to say impact, but it's not impact.
Got that up there.
And it's not transfers either.
Yet, do you think?
Huh?
Or it just hasn't been coded yet, do you think?
That could be. That could be.
Maybe it's really healthy donations.
Yeah. Exactly, for $35,000.
No, I don't know.
Really?
How much is it for?
$35,000.
I don't know if it's a possible grant. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's just a very specific
amount.
I know.
I'm actually stumped. I go through this document a lot, but I am stumped on that.
We'll go with Misty. I'll test it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll follow up with you on that and let you know. Because it's not interest income either.
That has
its own category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good catch on that one, Megan.
That was another question.
Okay.
sorry, I had one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's not 7.
All right, the total local is on page 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. The total local building authority incorporated 4. So the 86K. For that building, when did those expenses hit? So like the capital project 3, other expenses, debt services, when does that line item become full in 23? Is your calendar?
That was, yeah, that is the, we actually have a spreadsheet on it, but that is the temporary station and moving and the expenses of the building that we built up there that they're going to buy, that's included in that. I can't give you all of the different things. We had to put a propane tank up there. We had, oh, and then we had to also, that includes all the renovation of that temporary facility.
So that will hit after the new station is
completely moved in.
Yeah.
Good questions. Any others? Okay, seeing none, we need to accept this one then, our financial report.
So I'm going to approve the North Save Aspire District financial report.
Second.
I have a motion from Annette for approval and a second from Megan. Any further discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
That's our ladder truck. You know what?
There's what?
Did you figure it out?
That's our ladder truck we sold.
Oh.
Oh.
Who just sold it? Who buys ladder trucks?
Somebody in Georgia. Evans County, Georgia.
Evans County.
Southern Georgia. They drove it from here.
Did they really?
Yeah. And they were so excited.
I got to meet them. They were very, very excited. About
oh yeah,
it.
Yeah.
The whole transaction was awesome.
How many residents do they serve with that? Did they say?
I don't know. But he told me that I could. Go, he told me I could go deer hunting down there anytime, and I don't even need a license.
Probably putting that on record.
Don't even need a license.
Okay.
Very rural.
wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad they have it.
Yeah.
Glad it's repurposed.
Yeah, it's good. They were tickled to death with it.
Good. So. Good thought. Okay. All right, guys, this is next one is a resolution. This is amending the North Davis Fire District's FY24 budget and local building authority for the FY24 budget. We'll have a public hearing on this, but let's turn some time over to...
So this was oversight on our treasurer. Yep. Last month, you remember, you voted to amend the budget to move impact fees less than $1.1 million into the building authority. The fees got transferred out of, they're not restricted funds anymore, but we need you to pass this to put them in the building authority. So they're in the building authority for what they're intended for. And
it came out, just wasn't placed properly.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we just have to make sure they're placed properly.
Yeah.
So it's just that this is the cleanup bill.
Yeah.
Any questions on that? Does that make sense? Everybody okay with that? Okay. Well, then with that, we need to be able to do this. We have to hold a public hearing, so we will open that public hearing at this point. Anybody that like to have a comment, or we'd invite them to come forward? Seeing none.
I'll move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Tim to close and a second by Jerry. All in favor of that?
Aye.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, back to the board for action.
I'll make a motion that we approve, approve resolution number 2024-03, amending the North Davis Fire District fiscal year 2024 budget and local building authority fiscal year 2024 budget.
So I have a motion by Jerry for approval of this and a second by Mayor Mattson. Scott?
Yes.
Megan?
Yes.
Mayor?
Aye.
Annette?
Yes.
Tim?
Aye.
And Jerry?
Yes.
That is unanimous. Thank you, guys. Okay. Fire Chief's report.
I only just have a couple quick things. Turn some time over. You got a few items too.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, I think the whole board's aware, but over the last month, we had some pretty severe tragedies in West Point, and it was difficult for the district and our employees. But they did a great job. We had a couple of youth that we lost in. Well, we actually had three. Was it three, Mayor?
There's a fourth now added.
Oh boy. Yeah, I saw that. Anyway, so that was very unfortunate. The calls themselves, without going into detail, the guys responded fast, did well, and we took very good care of our community. But just wanted to update the board as far as those calls went. The only other thing, I've been, I think we meet daily and weekly on the news station. It's moving along great. Right now, we're really getting dialing in, crunching numbers. It still looks like we're on budget. We're within our parameters. We're ordering FF&E items right now. Furniture stuff. We were at a construction meeting today. It's getting painted. The south bay door's in. Bay doors are in. The north will be being installed next week. They had to use a crane to put the generator in. What am I missing? There's so much, but
yeah.
You're going to see landscaping start take place, which is going to be, that's fairly quick, the landscaping when that goes. But as far as today, right, Megan, we're looking 1st of June, mid-June. And I know I used to throw those numbers out to you, but if you go up there, that looks about right. So, yeah, and we needed it in it like yesterday.
Yeah.
So, that's all I have, Kurt.
Okay.
I've got some numbers to go over from the last month of February. Just kind of talking about how busy our guys are and gals. Last month, we had to have Clinton paramedics come into our district and transport twice. We had Leighton Fire in here twice to transport with our guys. And then we had to use one of Syracuse's ambulances to transport. I thought I printed it, but I don't have it. I was going to get the numbers of how many times they're coming in and not transporting, or our medics are going to their city and not transporting as well. These are just transports. But it's getting they're getting busy. That medic truck's super busy. Our ambulances are busy. last month, we ran 197 calls in Clearfield. We ran 49 in West Point, 35 in Sunset. We went to Clinton 5 times. We went to Syracuse 3 times. We went to Leighton 2 times. We went out to Hooper once and to Roy once. So we were bouncing all over last month.
Is that Hooper, Weber County?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And then this one was kind of interesting to me. We had 80 times last month that we had 2 calls going on at the same time in the district. We had 17 times that we had 3 calls going on in the district, and we had 3 times that we had 4 or more going on in the district. And so that one was interesting to me, because if you guys can think back to when we put up how the flow chart and all that goes, that really taxes our district heavily when that happens. And these guys, I mean, it's getting more and more common, which is kind of crazy for me to look at. But I thought that was interesting when I was going through getting those numbers for you guys. We just wrapped up a countywide training this month. Davis County knocked down some big walls finally, and the entire county did a training. It's called RIT training. It's Rapid Intervention Team, designed on fires. They go in and their primary job is to rescue a downed firefighter, an injured firefighter, lost, whatever. It worked out really well. Every one of our full-time personnel were able to go to the Leighton training tower at some point and go through this training. We had other cities covering us. We covered other cities at different times, and it worked out really well. It went off well enough that we're going to try to do quarterly trainings as a county this way and try to improve as a whole county, which is great, because Weber County's been doing this for years and years, and we finally were able to get it pulled off. So it's exciting. Also, on top of that, we brought the Utah Fire and Rescue Academy in again this month. This time we were able to bring in a forcible entry prop. It's a trailer and it has multiple doors and different things. And they were able to do a training with all 3 of our shifts, but they also had several props out there for our people to go out and practice these forcible entry techniques. They were able to use saws, go through tons of stuff. And we got really good feedback from our firefighters. Said it was phenomenal training for them. Eufra just comes out and does it for us. So we were excited to have that with them. And then just this week, Chief and I, we did what we call meet with the chiefs. We sit down with each of the shifts, and we kind of update them on what's going on, kind of similar to what he did with you guys. And then we open it up and ask them if they have any questions, concerns, complaints, whatever. And it was actually a really good meeting this month. We were able to help address some concerns or questions that they had. But the big takeaway from that was, I think the crews are very happy. There was a lot of positive comments coming back about the board and your guys' support for them. They were able to pinpoint certain things that you guys have done for them. And so I wanted to tell you guys thank you on behalf of them. And they were excited to see how well we're all working as a team, to see that you guys are unified. We're all on the same team, so thank you.
Thanks. Yep, go ahead.
It's me again.
Jerry?
Staffing issues. How are we doing on staffing issues? Are we having any areas that the board needs to be aware of where we're understaffed?
Right now we're fully staffed on our full-time staffing.
I'm looking at potentially hiring a few more part-timers. I've been running some numbers today. Looking at how many of our shifts we're actually filling. So right now we have our part-time staff just covering vacation and sick leave. We don't have an actual spot out here anymore for them. We dissolved that in hopes of trying to balance the budget. And as a rough numbers looking today, our part-time staff's only covering, I think it was 39% of the available shifts. We ran 48% of our shifts not fully staffed since January till now. So the crews are running short staffed 48% of the time, but they're making do and they're
doing a great job. I'm just
wondering, they are.
How can the board help?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, looking at it, I say these numbers are still, I'm still trying to fine tune them, but looking at it, like, we're running them short staffed almost 50% of the time, but we've got some ideas in place. We're trying to massage that a little bit, trying to look at some more part-time staffing to help fill some of those voids. And
one of the problems, Jerry, is the dynamics have changed over the years. We don't have a stack of applications and people that want to work part-time like it used to be. Or all of you, I think most of you know Darren Coleman. I use him as a good example. They don't make them anymore.
They don't.
You know what I mean? They don't. What I'm saying is he doesn't want to work here full time. He just want to be a fireman. You know what I mean? There used to be a lot of them. And now, and you can't blame them. A lot of them are young kids, and they want a full time job. And the minute they get offered one, they take it. You know what I mean?
Another question that I had is on helmets. Is that a budget item coming up for the helmets that we had that are kind of potentially a problem for hearing and different things?
Yeah, we're taking a look at that and evaluating that. And okay. That's a good question. It's kind of embarrassing. I think we are eating a little bit of crow. You know what I mean? And not only me, but other fire departments too.
And the board here.
Yeah. It looks safe. It seemed like a good decision at the time, but the feedback is that they're hearing, they can't hear each other. I can hear them really good sitting in a command vehicle, but the problem is when they're standing out on a highway or anything like that, they're having a difficult time hearing. So we're addressing that. That's part of our PPE budget. We're probably looking at transitioning back to a different style, you know.
Is that being addressed with the manufacturer too? I mean, if it's not just us, is that in the other districts and departments?
I can tell you Layton. Layton's a good example. Layton switched to them after us or before us?
After us.
After us. Going away from them.
They're going away,
The thing with them that we're finding, they're called a Euro helmet. The Europeans are known for using them. They're a great helmet if you strictly fight fire from the outside of a home. They're famous for their tactics are a little bit different than what we are. We're aggressive. We go inside. We try to stop it. Theirs are a lot. They sit on the outside. So I think there's an application for this style of helmet. It works well for them, but we're a little bit different tactic-wise here in the United States and the way that we go interior and use it, they don't work quite as well as what everybody anticipated with them. We started finding things out.
And you know what? They're quite a bit more money.
Yeah.
How long have we been using them?
It's been
a few years, hasn't it?
Two
or three years.
Yeah.
We were on the board when
about 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any buyback program with that? Any warranty on them? Is it just kind of a weed?
We change. So that's what's difficult with turnouts.
Sure.
With a lot of different things is when you make decisions, because you don't want to mix. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when you make a change, it costs money, like air packs or anything like that.
So does this item become expired? Can we sell them to another department that wants
them
or has
them? Sell them. We might be able to sell them through that, you know, how I sell.
Sure.
And give a fire department that has that type of helmet a good deal, but I'm not going to tell you that they're expired because they're not expired.
Okay.
What's
the time frame that a helmet expires?
Is it 10 years?
Cycle it out.
Well, it depends. I think some leather ones, we're not buying leather ones, but although we do let, so over this past year, the guys wanted to do leather. Leather traditional helmets are, how much are they, Chief? $1,200?
$1,500. Yeah.
$1,500. Okay. They are OSHA compliant and NIOSH compliant. We don't purchase them for our firefighters, but they got to fall within our uniform guidelines or whatever, right color, all that stuff. But if they want, and it's theirs to keep, if they want, they can buy a leather helmet and they can use it on duty for their whole career.
Wow.
And it's that's more of a cultural thing, so we're going way back. Some guys, in fact, quite a few of our personnel have went and bought leather helmets, and as long as it is the right style and conforms to our SOP, they can wear that. Because there's a lot of tools that we supply on the fire truck, but also, like, for example, when I was a captain or I was a firefighter, you guys heard the tool, the Halligan, that Halligan. I bought my own personal one. That'd be like a firefighter buying his own axe that he wants to use on fires, but it's his. And as long as it's compliant with our gear and what we do, I've never told somebody they can't go buy their own Halligan. You know what I mean? I don't require them to.
Sure.
We provide that, but so we allowed that.
Okay. Any other questions for the Chiefs?
Thank you.
Thanks. Member city updates. We'll start with Sunset.
Doing pretty good right now.
Is all right?
Easter egg hunt Saturday. Hoping your folks can come.
The 30th.
Oh, for Easter.
Easter.
We have it on our calendar to support all three cities, right? Clearfield's doing it as well.
Yeah.
Easter. Yeah. So I've got it on the calendar. We should have staffing to put them at all three cities for the hunt. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we voted down. Not voted, it was in a work meeting, but kind of decided not to have fireworks, to try for something else. Just didn't want to risk the danger of too many houses in the fallout area.
You think you're going to do that, what do they call it?
The light show or drone?
The drone show?
Laser.
Drone, yeah.
that's a tough question to answer.
Yeah.
Last year wasn't good.
It's we're still planning.
Okay. Good answer.
Okay.
That's a good politician answer.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, Clearfield.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, you're gonna throw it on me, huh?
All right,
yeah,
Tim, you're up.
That's the if you want to buy a jet. You can buy a jet
gone.
From us.
Oh,
are they all gone now?
All gone.
Yeah, I need
to go
to city
to
council
second.
Meeting last week. So
we need to go to the second set.
So
the
we're
going to
be getting a new round of them, though.
Yeah.
But soon you'll see jets going up and down State Street in Clearfield.
Well done.
And they'll be one in front of the fire department.
So we're excited for it.
They're
not real and they're cast.
They're kind of like the horses in Ogden.
Yeah.
And then you're having them paint them, right? Each. Businesses.
They can paint them, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We have an artist that will do it too.
Perfect.
But
yeah, they're.
We're looking to redecorate. We're to get some more artwork along State Street and liven it up a little bit.
Okay.
as our new developments come in.
Good.
That's all I have.
Got it?
I learned something new today, which was really exciting. So the fire department uses a sauna. Can you tell, does everybody know about the sauna situation?
So
this is really
no,
cool.
I can explain it real quick.
It's not like
you guys have heard me repeat NFPA compliant fire station, NFPA. In that station, it has a decon sequence, and by code, other than I don't know that our guys, to be honest with you, will use it that much for deconning. More, they're excited to have a sauna. But when you decon, when they come back and they got all hazardous materials or whatever, there's a decon shower, and then you're supposed to sit. And I just found this out a while ago, actually from feedback from the guys. Hazmat-wise and code-wise, it has to reach 170 degrees. That supposedly opens up your pores.
For how long?
Oh, I think he said
45 minutes, an hour.
10 minutes?
I think he said 10 minutes is what.
But I didn't know that because not all of them get that hot.
Yeah.
Not all of them get that hot. Not all of them need 240 volts. So it was in our FF&E, in our budget, to get it. So we're in the process of ordering that, and it was actually good because I got feedback from the guys. One of them was a hazmat guru, and I said, they sell one that that has a bicycle in it. You get on a bicycle. That's how you're supposed to. They said South Davis Metro has like four of them in their stations, and they said actually the guys don't really like the bike. They just would rather have extra room, you know, to just be able to sit in it. And so I think that's the direction we're going. So
Nate, West Point, anything notable that you can think of?
Nothing I can think of.
Power only went out a few times.
When's 193 gonna go down to 4,500?
Yeah, they're still selling us by June. By June it should be. Yeah. There and open, then 4,500 West will become our new freeway. 193 extension
connecting
from West Davis Corridor, where it currently is, down to 4,500 West.
Crossing the
trail. Hopefully, it'll take some pressure off this light.
Yeah. We've talked with UDOT about this light.
Yeah.
That's got to be reconfigured.
Yeah,
we even talked to them about getting a signal to be able to turn.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can only get one car to turn there.
Through,
so. UDOT, they're so much fun.
Yeah, they're fun. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else?
And if you live in my house, tonight to get here, I left at 20 to 6. It took me almost 10 minutes. And I finally turned, went up the Ogden Clinic Road, round through the subdivision, came back out up here, 325 or 275 North or whatever it is. And
next
some guy was nice enough to let me in, but they wouldn't let me in coming out of my driveway, and I was pointed forward.
Next time, go up SR-193 across 2000 and come down.
Yeah, I can do that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
It's got to be faster.
Just do that one time where you just, like, wave and start driving.
Right down the road.
Okay, need a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Jerry.
Second.
Second by Tim. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, did we decide on...
Oh, yeah, time.
What did you guys think?
5:30, guys? You guys good with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give us an hour?
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be
a little bit succinct.
Okay.